This morning I'm doing something I never, ever thought I would do. You'll understand in a moment. Date was 2012 and the place was an interview with comedian Caroline Ray. I never thought I would quote her, ever. But she was being interviewed and it was a very bizarre interview, and I'm not sure exactly why, but she was asked what animal she most identified with. She responded with this answer: "I wish I were a bear. See, if you're a bear, you get to hibernate. You do nothing but sleep for 6 months. I could get used to that. And another thing, before you hibernate, you're supposed to eat yourself stupid. That wouldn't bother me at all. If you're a mama bear, everyone knows that you're mean business. And you swat at anyone who bothers you or your cubs. If your cubs get out of line, you swat them too. And your husband, he expects you to growl when you wake up. And he expects you to have hairy legs and excessive body fat because he likes it." Now, I really can't argue with that about bears. But this is her mentality. This is what she would like. Now, the last time I spoke, we were focused on the mandate for men and establishing that mature men must mentor moldable men, and moldable men must mimic mature men. So let me ask, gentlemen, have you hooked up with another guy yet? Have you gotten together? Are you beginning that process? We're men. Come on, guys. We got to do this. It's what God has asked us to do. Have you found your Paul? Have you found your Barnabas, your Titus, your Timothy? Well, this morning we're focusing on the study of three verses in Titus 2 that are directed at the women in the church. So men, you can sit back and start thinking about who your Paul, your Barnabas, your Titus, your Timothy is going to be. But we're in this section of Titus that deals with the importance of making an impact on our relationships. Specifically, we see that men and women and citizens have unique opportunities and very real responsibilities. So let's read Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 3. "Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, or their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at the home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." Now I want you to notice that Paul instructs Titus to start with this word, likewise. He challenged men to step up spiritually through redemptive relationships. So too, women must be moved to mentor other women. And just as Paul began with the older men before focusing on the younger, he starts with the older women. Now, at the age of 26, Pat Moore conducted a very interesting experiment. She was an industrial designer, and she wanted to better understand seniors. And so for 3 years, she would frequently disguise herself as an 85-year-old woman. She aged her face with professional makeup. She donned on a gray wig. She wore glasses that blurred her vision. She even wore braces that twisted her body and reduced her normal gait to a very slow walk, a shuffle. In those 3 years, she visited 116 cities as an elderly persona, walking, riding buses, flagging cabs, visiting parks. And she was impressed with the compassion and the care that she received from other seniors. But she was often treated very harshly by those who were younger. And in one city, she was mugged by a group of 13-year-olds and beaten so badly that she suffered permanent back damage, left unable to bear children. Folks, this is not how we are supposed to be. But interesting, the one thing that she learned, well, in character, was that deeply religious people always were more caring and aware of the needs of older people. That's how we're supposed to be. So older women have this wealth of wisdom to share with those who are younger. Those of you who are older saints, I apologize for how my generation has mistreated you. I want to applaud you for your spiritual discipleship. And while our culture communicates that the older women are washed up and have nothing to offer, scriptures, they teach a far different thing. That God has a wonderful design for senior saints. And in verse 3, older women are given a pattern to put into practice. It says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Now, as we learned with the men, the term older is a relative term, meaning someone who is older than someone else. Titus is to teach them to live out four things in their lives. And the first thing is to be consistently reverent. Now, this word, reverent, this is used only right here in Titus. This is the only time you will ever find it anywhere in the entire Bible. And it means to be a priestess. You are to be set aside and holy. Reverent women are the kind of people who have access to the Almighty, who enter His holy presence on a regular basis. And the best example of a woman like this is found in Luke chapter 2, where we read about Anna. Anna was this 84-year-old woman, and it's said that she never left the temple because she was so committed to serving through fasting and prayer. What an incredible example to emulate. Now, I'm not saying, ladies, you need to camp out here in the church. That's not what I'm saying. I know that camping is not typically a ladies' thing. So set up shop in somewhere. No. What I'm saying is that for her, in her mid-80s, she was a worshiper. And this kind of woman is highly respected for her reverence. And people know that she's close to Christ, and therefore they want to be close to her. Older women are to be reverent in the way that they live. See, in the Old Testament, the priest went into the holy place to burn incense to the Lord. And when he returned, the fragrance was still upon his clothes. And so godly women, they're to emit a glow or a fragrance of faithfulness. And this phrase includes a reference to desiring decency and to dressing modestly. And worshiping women were to dress properly on the outside and to be adorned with holiness within. And so, women, you are to be consistently reverent. But next, you must strive not to be slanderous. Now this is the Greek word diabolos, which translates into devil. Satan is the supreme slanderer. Revelation 12:10 states that for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And the word slander paints this vivid picture. It literally means to throw between. Just as Satan threw lies to Eve, the devil, in his game plan is to throw stuff between people in order to cause weakened relationships. But a wise woman watches her words. Older women are to resist the urge to slaughter someone with their words. Are you throwing stuff between people? Because there's nothing more Satan-like than slander. And so I urge you, be careful with your words. You are to be consistently reverent. You are not to be slanderous, but you are also to avoid any kind of addiction, especially that of alcohol. And this word addiction is the word for being enslaved, being in bondage to something. And a common characteristic of older women in the Roman and Greek culture was to drink in order to dull the pain of their life and to fill up their empty time. And this was dangerous because of what it does to the individual. It's detrimental to the church because this kind of bondage can effectively neutralize any kind of spiritual impact. Ephesians 5:18 states that we should no longer, or we should not be controlled by anything but the Holy Spirit. It says, do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. To be consistently reverent, to not be slanderous, to avoid any type of addiction. See, older women must be equipped to handle unique temptations all around them, and at the same time, be aware of special teaching opportunities. Look at the last part of verse 3. It says, but to teach what is good. To teach means to train. And this has the idea of coming alongside someone. And the word good refers to that which is inherently excellent and provides a superior benefit. Older women are able to pass along that which is beautiful and beneficial because of their experiences of walking with God. So the older women are to first follow a pattern of verse 3 and then implement a plan. Verse 4 says that then they can train the younger women. Simply put, one of the primary responsibilities of older women is to train younger women. And it's interesting to note that Titus, being a young man, is to teach the older women, but he's not responsible to train the young ones. That's the job of the faithful females. The phrase then is a purpose clause. It's meaning that as older women follow the pattern of godliness, they will find fulfillment in training the younger. If you are a woman and you're wondering about your purpose in life, well, here's one of them. It's right here. To pour yourself into someone who is younger, to train. It has to do with helping someone become sober-minded or in control of what they think and do. It's the idea of bringing someone to their senses. Now, to train, according to the dictionary, means to shape or develop the character of someone. It's also used to grow a plant by bending, by tying, by pruning. In addition, the word describes the outfitting of a ship for a long voyage. We're not talking just little things. We're talking the long haul here, folks. The older women have a strategic role in shaping, growing, encouraging, and outfitting younger women for life's journeys. Older women are to be consistently reverent, careful with their words, controlled in their behavior, and communicators of good so that they can train the young. And Paul then gives 6 principles that older women are to convey. Verse 4 goes on to say that they are to train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands. Now, it's important to keep in mind that Paul is not addressing all women here, because some of them have the spiritual gift of being single. And as he often does in his letters, he writes in response to a specific situation and questions that are plaguing the church. The instruction for young married women begins with the home because they have this strategic place and influence with their families. And the tense of this verb means that wives are to be continually fond of their husbands. Now, a wise woman once said, "The day that you said, 'I do,' you chose your love. Since then, you have been learning to love your choice." But there are far too many people today who get married because they have romantic feelings. And when those feelings go away, they want to go away, just like their feelings. Because too many relationships are built on a plethora of sappiness and blech. That stuff that I don't like. That verbiage, that vomitous stuff that comes out of young love. "Oh, I love you, honey buns. Oh, yes, you are so beautiful. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you 1,000 times. Oh, so do I, 1,000,000 times more. You know what I'm talking about? How does that build a relationship? And the advantage of this approach is that when you actually get into marriage, you need a foundation. But in the times of Titus, often marriages were arranged, and the couples had to learn to love one another. And there is a huge advantage to this approach, is that love is based upon commitment, not on feelings. You can learn to love your husband, but marriage is an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person. It is not your love that sustains your commitment. It's your commitment that sustains your love. But today, it's all backwards. It's all about my romantic feelings. And when I no longer feel that, I would just want to go away too. Well, one way to reinforce your husband's significance is by following the example found in Proverbs 31. "She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." Do you think the best of your man by encouraging and building him up? Or are you more of the woman of Proverbs 27? "A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day." Well, as part of loving her mate, according to verse 5, a wife is to be subject to her husband. Now, Paul was wise here to have the older women teach this instead of putting Titus in this position. This kind of teaching comes better from someone who knows how hard it is to do. Now, this word "subject" has the idea of respect, but it also has this means to arrange and to line up. And both the husbands and the wives are equal before God. But equal does not mean identical. It does not mean interchangeable. And it certainly does not imply inferiority. In society, all humans, all men and women in various positions of leadership or following and dependents are equal, yet their functions vary in their responsibilities. They're diverse. We're all equal before God and the laws of society, and yet we have varying functions and responsibilities. A pastor, Bruce Stewart, said this: "Where love and mutual respect rule the home, there will be little problems with submission on the part of the wife. The husband is never a dictator, but he exercises his headship primarily by service. This is the same way that Jesus expressed his headship over the church." So guys, listen up. If it's difficult for your wife to submit, it may be because you're slacking off on your love for her. Smarten up. Start loving your wife the way that you should, the way that Christ loves the church, willing to put your life down for her. And when you're able to do that, she's not going to have a problem. But the next is, they're not just to love their husbands, but they're to love their children. It's not easy to love young children all the time, is it? That's why it's essential for the older women to provide some training in this area. Moms need to be reminded that children are a blessing from the Almighty, not a burden to be endured. Moms, when you correct your children, it's important to do so out of love. We don't discipline for our sake, but for the well-being of our children. And never discipline out of anger. For every act of discipline is to produce godly behavior. So we are to love our children. And most of the time, they are easy to love because they are so precious and beautiful. But there are those times when you want to be Homer Simpson and you want to grab a hold of Bart and just... But do it in love. Next is to be self-controlled. So this doesn't work. But to be self-controlled, it literally means to have a saved mind. Younger women need to be trained to show self-restraint, to be steady, to set their priorities and practice it. It will never be accomplished if you're not longing for purity. A woman must observe premarital purity as well as postmarital fidelity. And part of purity is restricting what you read and watch, or and watch what you're watching. And while some people mistakenly say that a woman's only place is in the home, it's true that women have the ability to lift up the home to a higher level. And so Paul isn't talking so much about the place where a woman should be as the responsibility. We could say that a woman who works at keeping her home healthy is doing the job that she was designed to do. And so younger women, yes, you need to love your husbands, you need to love your children, you need to be self-controlled, but you also need some training and kindness. 1 Timothy 5:10 describes this kind of person. And is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. Well, there's a Japanese proverb that says, one kind word can warm 3 winter months. If you're feeling low on the kindness quotient, the best way to learn how to lavish kindness on others is to meditate on verses like Romans 2:4. The New Living Translation, which I don't often quote, but this one, it's awesome. It says this: don't you realize how kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Or don't you care? Can't you see how kind he has been in giving you time to turn from your sin? When we begin to realize how kind God is with us, and how patient he is with us, we begin to see that with each of these principles, there is a perspective to keep. Women, it's important to remember that people are watching how you live. When older women train younger, the end of verse 5 says that no one will malign the word of God. Now, J.B. Phillips says that women who live out these principles are a good advertisement for the Christian faith. I think it's far more than that. Someone once said, show me your redeemed life and I might be inclined to believe in your Redeemer. Ladies, I want to leave you in the same way I left the men. As the men need to a Paul, a Barnabas, a Timothy, you need an Anna to learn from, a Lydia to hold you accountable, a Rhoda to pour your life into. So take advantage of the women's opportunities. There are actually a lot more women's opportunities than guys' opportunities. Women have this innate ability to get together and do Bible study more than our guys do. They have these things called Women Wellness Days. I know that's not for a while, but get involved in it. They're not just at our church, they're all over the place. Look for practical ways to train younger women. And there's lots of ways that you can get involved in ministry. There's some here who have been a believer for decades and others who are fairly new in their faith. It's not an age thing. It includes those who have been married for a while, training those who just got married. Any woman can be a good role model for those in their teens. Those with younger sisters. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Those with younger sisters. You should be looking for ways to be a positive model for them. Women, you need to be in an intentional relationship with another woman. If you're older, seek someone younger. If you're younger, find an older person. Get into that relationship and be intentional about it. Go for coffee or tea or whatever you want, Coke. Spend time together. Share your lives with one another. I'll be honest, it happens more naturally with the women than it does with men. But women, be intentional about it. Because I know that there's some of you out there who you feel alone. You don't have that connection. You don't have that other woman to get together with. And you need it. Because God didn't create women to be islands, just like He didn't create men to be islands. And yes, that marriage relationship is wonderful and deep. But to have that relationship with others is also desirable. It's what God wants for us. For we are a community of believers. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You have built a community. Our community is Maranatha, but we're not limited to this community. We thank You that there are so many that we can connect with. Help us to make those connections. Help us to be the man. Help us to be the woman that You want us to be. To follow the pattern that the Scripture sets forth. To follow Your plans. To live out Your principles. To keep it in perspective. That You desire a relationship with us. That You are so patient with us. That You love us so much. Help us to model that pattern as well. With each other. This we pray. Amen.